God gave me a word for our church. He gave me a word. God said this, I am willing. That's what he spoke to my heart. I am willing. I was driving over here this last week on Monday and coming over here to spend some time with God. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, when you're reading, I'm going to give you your word for Sunday. I said, okay. So I got into Matthew chapter 8, and the words just jumped off the page and grabbed a hold of my heart. And God spoke to me and said, that's the word for the church on Sunday. I am willing. Amen. You know God's willing, don't you? He's willing to move on you. He's willing to bless you. He's willing to encourage you. God's willing. He's willing. I want to look at these verses. Can we look at them together? It says, large crowds followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside. Suddenly a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. Lord, the man said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said, be healed. And instantly the leprosy disappeared. Now I want you to know something before we go to the next verse. Luke talks about this same passage and he says this man wasn't just didn't have a couple spots on his body. This man was full of leprosy. Full of it. Probably loss of limbs and all those things in his body. Verse 4. Then Jesus said to him, don't tell anybody about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Father, I pray that you'll anoint me, Lord, to preach what you've placed in my heart. Heavenly Father, speak through me, God. Lord, let my hands be your hands and my feet your feet. God, I need you desperately today. I need you to move in a mighty way. God, take over this time. Take over this moment. Use me for your glory. Lord, I promise that whatever you do in this place, I will not dare take the glory from you, but I will point to you for what is accomplished. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. During the times of the Bible, a person who had leprosy or was pronounced with leprosy was to literally receive a death sentence. There was no cure. There was no healing. There was no physician. They couldn't go to a doctor and get it cleared up. When this man was announced that he was a leper, basically his time was coming to a close. There was nothing that anybody could do about it. Nothing could change. And this leper wasn't born a leper. You're not really born with leprosy. Something you kind of contract through your life. And you could have contracted leprosy and had it for 5 years and never shown a symptom until later. Sometimes it takes between 5 and 20 years to really start seeing some of the effects of leprosy. So this man had probably been a leper for many, many years. And Jesus had finished his Sermon on the Mount, that famous sermon, the greatest sermon ever preached. He finished that sermon. And this man wasn't with the crowd. The Bible said there was a great crowd on one side of the mountain. But if you actually look at the mountain that Jesus was on, and he sat on the top of the mountain, and he shared the gospel to them that were kind of on the valley of the mountain, there on the other side is a place where more than likely this leper was hiding. And there he listened to the greatest sermon ever preached. Maybe he heard something that gave him hope. Maybe he thought, this is the man they talk about and all the healings that he does. Maybe there's a chance that I can be whole, that I can be healed. The worst thing about leprosy is that not only do you know your time is up, but the way people treated you when you were a leper, was devastating. Let me read to you in Leviticus chapter 13. Look at this. Leviticus 13 verse 45 says, those who suffer from a serious skin disease must tear their clothing and leave their hair uncombed. So catch it right now. What does this man look like? What does this man visibly look like? He's got tears all over his clothing. He's not covered in a nice fine raiment. You know, he didn't come to church in a three-piece suit. He didn't cover up the skin problems. He had a real issue, and it was seen on the outward as well as this. He couldn't just cover it up. So he had his clothes completely torn and tattered, and when people saw him, they recognized him by the visual appearance of him. This is somebody I need to stay away from. Look at how he looks. And then they don't even comb their hair. Well, you know what happens, ladies, if you don't comb your hair. Right? Men, you know what happens if you don't comb your hair. Some of us don't have hair, but you understand. You know what happens. This man was not clean. He didn't have nice clothes on. He couldn't cover up the leprosy. He was rejected by society. His clothing was tattered and torn, and he had uncombed hair. They must cover their mouth and call out, unclean, unclean. There's a law that states this, that if a leper gets within 6 feet of you and gets closer than 6 feet of you, that you can have them stoned to death for being that close to you. If a leper got 6 feet of you, the least he would receive, or they would receive, is 40 lashes for disobeying that. So here's a man that all his life, he can't put on a show. He can't hide the situation. He can't cover it up. His hair's disheveled. He has to cry, unclean, unclean, unclean. And everybody that sees him takes a step back and moves around. Go, watch out, there he is. Stay away from the leper. He has to cover his mouth. He has to cover his mouth so that any of his germs don't get on somebody. Here's a man that is full of leprosy, Luke said. Full of leprosy. You know what leprosy does is it starts with just a little skin rash, and it starts with numbing the body. And what it attacks your nervous system. And so many people who deal with leprosy or have had leprosy, they find out because they get burned or they cut themselves and they don't feel it. That's one of the first signs that someone could be a leper. They don't feel anything. Because leprosy attacks the nervous system. Many people have lost fingers and toes. Their face become totally disfigured and loss of their nose tissue and things just, their body just kind of absorbs cartilage into itself. It's a nasty, nasty disease. And I would love to have shown pictures to you, but I pulled up pictures and I go, that you'll throw up. That's too much to put on there. So here's a man that is not visibly accepted. He's got tattered clothes. He's uncombed. He's got to cry, unclean, unclean. Everybody else is probably pushing away from this guy. And as long, look at this, verse 46, as long as the serious disease lasts, they will be continually unclean. They must live in isolation in their place outside the camp. So the worst part of having the disease is that when you found out you had it, they pulled you away from your family and friends. They pulled you away from your social group, and they stuck you outside in an isolated group of people. And they said, that's where you can live, that's where you can die, don't come back inside the city. Matter of fact, anytime you read about a leper in the Bible, usually they're by the gate. You know why? Because they can't go past the gate. So they stand by the gate hoping that they might get a glimpse of what it's like to be in the city again, to be apart with people. So here's a guy on the other side of the mountain. Now get this, Jesus is preaching. this phenomenal message. And he's got tattered clothes, his hair's disheveled, his face disfigured, fingers and toes probably falling off. He's got his mouth covered. He's supposed to say, unclean, unclean. But when he encounters Jesus, he doesn't say that. He doesn't say, I'm unclean. He says, Jesus, if you will, can you heal me? Can you come to where I hurt and heal me? Will you come to the point of my need and heal me? So here's a man that in all of life, and this is what fascinates me the most about it, is that leprosy in the Bible is oftentimes is compared to sin. It is compared to sin. I got five ways. Let me put this up here for you. Five ways leprosy is compared to sin. Leprosy kills a person from the inside out. So does sin. Sin starts on the inside. Listen, it's not just the outside. Sin starts on the inside, then it comes to the outside. It starts in the heart. It starts in the mind. And sin will destroy you just like leprosy. Starts on the inside. And then it starts affecting fingers, toes, and facial disfigurement. It starts on the inside. Then it destroys. Leprosy cuts you off from relationships. Doesn't sin do the same? Doesn't sin do the same? Sin not only separates you from God, but it'll even separate you from family members and loved ones. Because if you continue down a destructive path, some family members have to say, listen, you can't come here because that destructive path, I don't want you teaching my kids about that destructive path. I don't want you coming in here and corrupting my family with the sin that you are engulfed in. And so sin brings family relational separation in people's lives. Leprosy numbs you. So does sin. So does sin. Sin will numb you. First time somebody goes down and gets high. First time they get high, they go, oh, I should have never done that. I should have never done it. And then they get addicted to it, and they completely forgot about the guilt they felt the first time that they embraced it. The same is true with sexual immorality. They get involved in sexual immorality. The next thing you know, they're completely numb to it. They're sad about it the first time. Then they're numb to it later on. Because that's exactly what leprosy does. It numbs you. Sin numbs you to its effects. Leprosy disfigures your appearance. If you've never seen a drug addict with their appearance disfigured, you need to look a little closer. Have you ever seen the before and after pictures of somebody who was clean at one point and then they took them down as they went on drugs, and next thing you know, you can't even tell who they are. They're completely disfigured. They're completely changed. It's a massive difference in their life. Leprosy cannot be cured without medicine. It cannot be cured without some outside thing coming in to cure it. The same is true with sin. The only thing that cures sin is Jesus. Come on, somebody. The only thing that cures sin is Jesus. So here's a man bound with leprosy, and here's the part that fascinates me about his life. What fascinates me the most is that he's not with 10 lepers. Remember the story of the 10 lepers? There's not 10 of them. It's just him. He's all alone. Here's a man all alone in his condition. Have you ever felt alone but around people? Yeah, you have. Some of you are here in church this morning and you smiled at me, but really inside you feel all alone. Yeah, you clapped your hands. You may even raise your hands. You might even said a little hallelujah and all that, but inside your heart you feel completely ostracized. You feel separated from everybody else, and the enemy is trying to pull you apart on the inside, because that's what the enemy works from. Listen, he don't care if you go to church as long as your life is a wreck on the inside. As long as your mind is consumed with all his thoughts and his evil. That's all he cares about. Here's a man, he's all alone. He's not with 10 lepers. He don't have anybody. Nobody there to console him, to uplift him. He's just simply alone. And he comes to Jesus in his situation, says, I'm all alone. Will you please heal me? Will you please heal me? Not only is he alone, but he's used to rejection. He's used to being rejected. Have you ever been rejected so much you just expect it? I have. I'm telling you what, I've been rejected sometimes, and I thought for sure this next one's going to reject me too. This next one's going to be a rejection. Here's a man that has lived in utter rejection. Everything, everywhere he goes, he's shunned. And so when he comes to Jesus, he doesn't come to Jesus like that woman with the issue of blood and sneak up behind him. He doesn't have confidence in himself. You understand what I'm saying? There's no confidence there to sneak up behind Jesus and say within himself, if I can just touch him, if I can just touch him, I know I'll be whole. There's no confidence there. This man doesn't have the confidence of blind Bartimaeus to cry out, oh, Jesus, thou son of David. And when they tell him to shut up, cry out louder and cry out louder. No, he is so used to rejection that he asks the question, if you will. I want you to catch that. Because some of you have asked God that very same question. Are you willing to move in me? Are you willing to heal my circumstance? Are you willing to come into my situation? Are you willing to meet my need in my family and with my kids and with my parents? Are you willing to come into the brokenness of my life? Do you see me, God, where I am? And are you willing to find me where I'm at and pull me out of this? The man asked Jesus, are you willing? Go back to that verse, that first set of verses there, sis, that I put up there. Large crowds followed Jesus, and he came down the mountainside. Suddenly a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. Lord, the man said, if you are willing. You see, this man knew the punishment for even not saying the words unclean. This man knew the law that he's supposed to wear tattered clothes, have uncombed hair, and cry out, unclean, unclean. He's supposed to be outside the gates. He's not allowed to be 6 feet in proximity of somebody else. And so he's used to rejection. He's used to hearing no. He's used to having the enemy attack his mind and heart. He's used to it. And some of you are so desensitized to the attacks of the that he attacks you and he attacks you and he attacks you and you don't expect God to do anything. And you come to the Lord with this, if you are willing, will you heal me? And the faith has decreased inside so many believers that they're walking around with spiritual leprosy in their life. When the healer of all healers, when the King of all kings has the power to bring you the life and the strength that you need. He's been rejected. He's got no confidence. He's got no confidence. If you're willing, you can. Now he does know this. Jesus can. You can make me whole, Jesus. You can. If you're willing, you can. Look at your neighbor, tell him Jesus can. Jesus can do it. Jesus can do it. Now listen. I love what Jesus says to him. Jesus says to him, he reached out. Now, whoa. What did Jesus do? That is against the law, my dear friend. He reached out. I love this about my Jesus. He touches the untouchable. He heals those that can't be healed. Is it the touch of God? Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost just touching you. Isn't it just like God that when he touches you, it's unforgettable? I can remember every touch, every moment he reached down into my life and he said, I'm willing. Everybody else is like, whoa, 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 get back, everybody. Get back. There's the tattered clothes guy. There's the uncombed hair. There's the man we need to shun, get away from. That's the drug addict. That's the alcoholic. That's the promiscuous prostitute on the corner. We got to get back, get away from them. And the whole time, Jesus is reaching out to them. What I love about it is when nobody else would touch him. When nobody else would love him. When nobody else cared about him. When everybody rejected him and said, I don't want him near me. Get out of my house. Get away from my family. Jesus said, I'm here and I'm the one who's going to touch you. I'm the one who's going to pull you out. You need to know this morning that your Jesus is willing. Every great move of God has been about his touch. Has been about Jesus coming and being willing to meet you right where you're at. Some of you are battling in your heart. Does God love me? And the answer from this pastor is the obvious answer. Yes, he loves you. But you believing that is nothing. If you don't believe it, then me saying it is pointless. And so this story here, you need to grab a hold of this. You need to get this in your spirit. You need to get it in your heart. Jesus, are you willing to fill me with the Holy Ghost? Somebody answer it. Are you willing to heal me of my sickness? Somebody say it. Are you willing to reach into my problem and heal it? Somebody say it. He's willing this morning to meet you, to touch you, and to reach out into your life. Here's a man that hadn't felt the touch of anybody else for many years. Many years he didn't feel that. The touch of a wife, the touch of his children, the touch of a community. Never felt any of it. But he did feel the touch of God. Oh man, I love it when God comes to those who've been rejected and broken and the community has cast them out, those ones that we say got no hope, got no future, and when they come in with their tattered clothes and their disheveled hair and we all look and say, who's this coming into the house of God? Who's this person? Jesus said, that's the one I'm here to touch. That's the one I'm here to pull out. Now get this, Jesus not only touched him, but the Bible said the moment Jesus said, I am willing, didn't say that he struggled with it. No. He said, I am willing. He said, be healed. Some of you, you're hearing that this morning. Be healed in the name of Jesus. And I'm not just talking about a physical, I'm talking about a mental healing. Some of you need a mental healing. The devil's been filling your mind with stinking thinking, and you've been thinking with that stinking brain, and you need to listen to the Spirit of God talk to you in a different way. And you're being healed in your mind. Some of you being healed in your emotions. You've been hurt by somebody. Some church person messed you up. Somebody just messed your mind up. Thought you and tried to treat you like you were trash on the street. You've been rejected by church folk. And Jesus loves the rejected church folk because he comes into their life and he brings healing into their heart. Amen. Instantly, the Bible said, he be healed instantly. Could you imagine what he must have felt? Leprosy, the skin rashes, the fingers that had fallen off, the toes that had fallen off, all of it just disappeared. I wonder if it went from the top of his head down to his feet. We're going to ask him when we get to heaven. How did it feel when the touch of God was so good? Well, I'm going somewhere. How did it feel? You see, some of you are like, you're like stoic Christians. You've got spiritual rigor mortis. You're in the church, but you don't praise in the church. Dead on the pew while the Holy Spirit's moving. Jesus touched that man and healing flowed through him. I said healing flowed through. When the touch of God comes your way, you can guarantee this one fact, that if you touch by God, whatever you are in need of, you're going to receive it in the name of Jesus. You're going to receive it. And so I want to admonish you right now as your pastor, quit sitting on your pew of do nothing and get in there and get your touch. Quit watching others get the touch. You get in there, get your touch. Quit watching me dance. Get in there, get your own dance. Quit waiting for somebody to come to you and you get to him. Oh, where's that kind at? I mean, everybody's sitting on the pew. I wish pastor come pull me out. Wish he'd call my name. The whole time the Spirit of God is echoing and screaming and yelling, I'm calling to you. Will you come to me? All you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, he said. I'll give you rest. And Jesus touched him. Now here, Jesus didn't stop with that. And I love this about God. Because you remember how I told you at the beginning that Jesus said that when we see people in life, when they start becoming drug addict, they look one way, and then when they're in the heaps of drugs, they look totally different. But have you met somebody on the reverse side? Have you met somebody after the touch? I said, have you met somebody? I wish my mama was here this morning. I'd pull her up here and say, I want to introduce you to a 13-year heroin addict that God touched one day. And I guarantee you, look at her face and say, she was a heroin addict? How in the world is that possible? Because when Jesus touches you, he touches you right. Amen. Now get this. Let's go to verse 4. Then Jesus said to him, don't tell anyone about this. This guy, don't listen to that. I just want you to know that. Instead, go to the priest. Let him examine you. See, they had a 7-day process. A process in which a person who had leprosy, if he was healed or cured somehow, that they would go through this process. They had to shave their head completely. All their hair, even their eyebrows. All the hair on their body had to be shaved. They had to bathe for 7 days in clean water and be cleaned. And then after the 7 days, they would offer these two live birds. One bird would be killed, and then the blood put on the other bird. And that bird that wasn't dead would fly away, signifying that it had been taken away. And then the priest who had pronounced the man unclean would give a new proclamation over him. Look at this. It says, take along the offering required by the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony. Somebody say public testimony. That you have been cleansed. You see, Jesus is not just concerned about making you whole. He's concerned about how others look at you when you're whole. And so some of you need a new proclamation over your life. You need to not hear the words unclean, 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 unclean. Because you know what the devil loves to do is he loves to fill your mind with you're unclean, you're unclean, you're unclean, you're unclean. All this week, some of you battled with that mind that said you're not right, you're not saved, you're not holy, you're not clean, you're not right. And the devil just kept pulverizing your mind. But if you've got a new proclamation over your life this morning, which comes from the Lord who says, I have made you clean. And God said, if I've made you clean, then you're clean. Amen. If God declared you clean, then you are clean. He Here's a man who had to scream it out every time he walked by somebody. Unclean, unclean. And when he came out of the moment with the priest, and the priest said, well, my dear friend, it looks like you've been cleansed. You don't have any more of this disease anymore. You are freed from it. This man didn't holler that anymore. You want to know what Jesus does? He puts on us a new robe. Somebody say it. Hallelujah. Amen. He puts a new robe on us. We got rid of them tattered clothes. We went ahead. We combed our hair and we put it to the side just how we want to. That way the world knows that I'm not a leper anymore. I am not sick in sin anymore. No, but I am freed in Jesus Christ. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Imagine what it was like. The willingness of Jesus to touch him. The willingness of Jesus to heal him. And the man left the priest and he put on new clothes. He didn't cover his mouth. He let his hair grow back and he combed it. And anytime he walked by somebody, he didn't have to say, unclean, unclean. I love it when the Lord restores people to the place that they were destined to be. Restores them in their heart. You know what the prostitute needs? Restoration. You want to know what the drug addict needs? Restoration. You want to know what the alcoholic needs? Restoration. Every person on this earth, even the ones who seem good in our eyes, need restoration from God. And the point of the whole message is simply this, that Jesus is willing to touch you. But are you wanting him to touch you? Because many people are here this morning, listen, just because there's a crowd doesn't mean there's many ready to touch him. There was a large crowd that day, but only one went away with the healing on that day. And it was the one who came asking for it. And James simply says it this way, you have not because you ask not. Sometimes we're waiting for some miracle from the sky, some lightning to flash from heaven to strike us right in our forehead, to levitate us off of our pew, and to float us to the front, all the way down to the altar where God is moving. And instead of getting up from the pew and walking out the door and saying, well, that was a good message, but coming to a place and saying, God, I heard the words that you're willing. And so I'm bringing to you what I need you to touch. Will you touch it, Lord? Will you touch it? Even though it's disgusting. Listen, God doesn't care about the disgusting nature of your life. He's got healing for it. This man didn't look good, did he? Didn't look good, but Jesus didn't care about his looks. He looked in his heart. And he said, I will. And he made him whole. Do you notice this about Jesus? I was noticing this. I'm done. You can say amen. I'm getting ready to close this up. But listen, do you notice this about Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? That the religious people, they didn't get nothing. They didn't get nothing. Just a few of them did. Nicodemus was there at the burial of Christ, so he got something. There was a few that got in, but they were secretive. He was so secretive, the Bible doesn't even talk about them. But there was a few. But do you know all the ones that received from God were hurting, broken, sin-filled lives? Jesus attracted those people. The Bible said in several places that they brought all from the town. And Jesus healed them all. I still believe my Jesus is willing to do just that. So you have to bring it to the Lord. Bring it to the Lord and let him heal it. You've got to come and say, God, I'm bringing this to you. I need you to heal it. Because the windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling tonight. And there's joy, joy down in our heart when Jesus makes everything right. And we'll give him our old tattered garments. And he'll give us a robe of pure white. And we'll feast on manna from heaven. And that's why we'll be happy tonight. Because Jesus touched us right where it hurts. Right where it hurts.